Morning, church. My name is Taylor Holt, and I am the college minister, and I want to take a moment just to welcome our visitors. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we're glad you're here. If you're a Tarleton student with us this morning, I'd love to get to know you. So if you'll stick around after services, we'd like to get connected with both our visitors and our Tarleton students and just see how we can best serve you as a congregation. We've got a few announcements this morning that I want to share. First off, this has kind of been a weekly thing, and I'm afraid to jinx it if we don't say anything about it. So we want to congratulate our football team. From coaches to players to all the support, cheerleaders, bands, everybody involved, great win on Friday night, and we're excited to get to keep playing through Thanksgiving. That's always a good thing, but really proud of those guys. Hope y'all can keep it going this week. For any of our visitors, if you're here just passing through this weekend, or if you're looking for a church home or anything in between, we want to ask that you'll scan this QR code with your phone, and that'll take you to our connection form online, and you can fill that out to give us some information about you, and that just allows us to get in contact with you, connect with you, and be able to just see how we can, like I said, meet your needs and serve you as a church. And so if you haven't filled that out, we'd love for you to do that and allow us to be able to connect with you in that way. These are our websites, and so that first one is our church website where you can find all of our resources for our congregation as a whole. There's also the youth website up there that'll keep you up to date on what our youth group has going on, and then our Texans for Christ campus ministry website up there as well. And then if you're a Facebooker, we have a lot of updates that come out on Facebook on our Graham Street Church page that'll keep you up to date on things going on. So I want to encourage y'all to be following those and be paying attention to ways that you can be involved in serving in the congregation and in the community. This is a time of year where we get to express our thankfulness to God for just everything that he's blessed us with. And one opportunity to do that will be out in the foyer. You may have seen as you walked in this morning or over the last couple weeks, we've got this tree of thankfulness. And so if you haven't already, or even if you have and you want to do it again, we've got lots of things that can be written on those leaves that we're thankful for that you can put on a leaf and stick it up on the tree. And we want to try to fill that out. I think this might be the last week we get to do that. We might have it again next week. I'm not really sure, but don't miss your opportunity to do that. I want to remind everybody there won't be any children's church today, so we will have the children's offering during the service this morning, but I want to remind everybody that once your kid brings the offering down here to the bucket, they'll come back and sit with you. We won't have the children's church upstairs, so if you send them up there, they're going to be on their own, so wouldn't be a good thing. But we will still have our attended nursery, so any children that are under 3 years old, you can send them to the nursery just right down the hall on the right, first door on the right. We do have one more announcement. Before I get to that, though, I want to remind everybody, this Wednesday we won't have services and there will not be a meal across the street due to the Thanksgiving holiday. And so we will not have anything at this building on Wednesday evening. And also, a week from today, next Sunday, there will be no classes Sunday morning. So we will begin next Sunday morning simply with worship at 10 o'clock. There will be no Bible classes beforehand. All right, we've got a special announcement from our former outreach minister, Jacob Bautista, and his wife, Savannah. And so I'm going to let that play. And then our college ministry intern, Bradley Fleming, is going to lead us in our opening prayer this morning. So,
hello, church family. We hope you guys are doing well.
We love you guys. Miss you guys. And we have some big news.
We're expecting a baby. We're a little nervous. We found out this week that we are pregnant, and we want you guys to be in prayer about us and whatever God is doing in our lives. We are prayerful that he has good plans for us, and we just wanted to make sure that you guys knew about it, because you guys are our family, and like we've said before, we miss you guys, and in this season of being thankful and being close to family, we just wanted to share the news with you guys. Love y'all.
feel all bow with me in prayer. Dear Lord, we just come to you this morning, Jesus, and we just pray that you will bless this house for you, Jesus. You will bless this house and just help us look to you for guidance this morning. I pray that the message that we receive this morning, we will just take and we will use and to apply it into our lives. Help us change our lives, even if it's just by a little, my Lord, to help worship you and praise you better. We pray that our worship this morning will be pleasing to you. We will sing out to you this morning, and we will just give you all the thanks and all the love because you deserve all of that and so much more. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and laying everything out for us. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
All right, if you would be standing as we begin our worship this morning. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. Our sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Amen. Please be seated. Under thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, O my God. I trust in thee, and let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. This next song will serve to prepare our minds and our hearts for communion this morning. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole. Saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love. And I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, Spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love. For I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
If you failed to pick up your communion needs before you came in, there's two men passing down the aisles, and if you'll just make your request known to them. It's a time of thanksgiving for this year. We have so much to be thankful for, and one of the greatest things, if not the greatest, is a sacrifice because of the love of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Before we take communion, I just want to read from a passage in 1 Corinthians. We know about Jesus being in the garden. We know that he prayed so fervently that sweat drops of blood came out on his forehead because he loved us. And he asked that this cup be passed from him, but he told his Father, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And because of that sacrifice, we have the opportunity to live eternally with him because of his grace. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this so in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." So during this prayer, we'll ask that we forgive those that trespassed against us so we can take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner and not pale the sacrifice that his son made upon that cross on Golgotha on that day. If you would, bow with me. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to commune with you. Father, we are mindful of your son in the garden as he prayed. We're mindful of the scourging and the beating that he took. We're mindful of how he carried his own cross to Golgotha and was crucified and took our sins to the cross, Father, and we're thankful for that. Father, help us to take this bread, which represents his body, in a manner that's worthy, that would bring glory to his sacrifice and would bring glory to the lives that we live as your children. Thank you for the privilege. It's ours. Help us to forgive those that trespassed against us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Now the prayer for the cup. Father, again, we approach your throne in prayer, thanking you for so many things. Father, we're mindful of the blood that your son shed upon that cross on our behalf. We're mindful of how spikes were driven into his hands and into his feet. We're mindful of how the blood left his body and dripped down to his toes and to the tips of his fingers. And he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. Help us to live a life worthy of that sacrifice, worthy of your calling. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, our prayer at this time is that we partake of this fruit of the vine in a manner that's worthy of you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise him all day long. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. For saving my soul.
All right, it's time for our children's offering. I want to remind everybody that there will not be children's church upstairs, but there is a nursery for ages 3 and below down the hall. So during this song, we'll have children come up, and they can place their offering in the basket.
This next song will be our song before the lesson, if y'all don't mind standing while we sing. You may have noticed David is not here with us this morning, and so we're blessed this morning. We'll get to hear from Doug Young, the president out at Foster's Home for Children, and I believe he's going to be sharing a little bit about what they have going on out there at Foster's Home as part of his presentation this morning, so it's going to be really good. Let's sing out.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise, adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Please be seated.
Well, I planned on speaking this morning, but I wanted to invite Randall Elston to come in my place and let him talk for about 25 minutes. Hold him down. Well, this is my first time to really speak in front of this group. I've led a few songs here and there, and we see how that goes. And what I'd like to do this morning is just kind of share with you some thoughts about my vision for Foster's Home in relation to this church. And I really am thankful for this church. I know that there is a long-standing history, and I'm grateful for the fact that we have homes that are plugged into this church. It's incredibly convenient. And given the relationship that the Graham Street Church has with Foster's, I think it's important to have a presence here. And I'm grateful that David's out of town and that I can fill in his place. Most of you probably don't know my history. We moved here in an awkward time with COVID, and I get asked all the time, well, is it what you expected? And of course, the answer is always no, because nothing changed with COVID for us. When we lost caregivers or when we had homes in complete and total lockdown, the state, and nobody came and took the kids and said, we're going to give you all a little bit of a break. We had to find a way in unprecedented times to continue to do our work. And of course, this wasn't what I saw coming. But it comes with the territory. And I'm grateful for the fact that I had a church family here, that we could work together through some things, and that there is a relationship here that is important to me. I have people, it was easy for us to decide to come to church here. We've had people that we've known for years that are members here, and we have board members that worship here, and it was a very easy decision given the nature of our relationships and how imperative it is that Foster's and the Graham Street Church are connected in the ways that they are. I was supposed to be an ag teacher, and somehow I found my way into preaching. And I found my heart, though, in children's home work. And I've said it on more than just a couple of occasions that my first 3 years as an administrator in Portales, New Mexico, I did better work than I did 15 years preaching. I did more important work than I did 15 years preaching. And people shake their heads, no way, but it is the truth. It is the truth. It's still one of the reasons why I stay plugged in with kids. I mean, I got kids coming in my office every day, and I'm grateful for that, because that's where my heart is. And hopefully, as we move through this lesson, you'll have a better idea about where I'm coming from and how I would like to maybe have you envision both us at Foster's, and I'll even take a little bit of time and try to distance us from the equation and have you think about some other people or some other things or some other opportunities that you have, and maybe reframe some of your thinking about what you're doing with your resources. I like to tell people that if you give to Foster's, you're making an investment, but it's an investment in hope. And I use the term investment deliberately. I grew up in the Churches of Christ. I know that when a church says or an elder says, we support this home or we support this missionary, I know exactly what that means. It means most likely that they're in that church's budget and they send a check every month. And yet there's always a real uneasiness about that. And so we start offering caveats like, but we would really like to get more and more involved if we could. And maybe they send kids, a youth group during the summertime to go and spend some time at a children's home. Or maybe they'll go and fly overseas and spend some time with a missionary so that they feel like they're plugged in. But when we use the term support, we all know what it means. And it's so vague and it's so nebulous, there's nothing about it that really is all that appealing, but we know what it means. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to think both collectively as a church, and I'm going to ask you to think even individually about changing your terminology for the sake of the missionary or the home or the kids in your youth group. for their sake. And I'm going to ask you to change that term support and just strike it from your vocabulary and choose the term invest. Now, because we are people who believe in the importance of Scripture, I think it's important to also make a case for it biblically. I think anecdotally the evidence is clear. I'll share a story or two with you about that. But I also want to make a case biblically because I believe it matters. I believe it matters 100%. In Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this: "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, whether he sows to please their flesh. From the flesh he'll reap destruction. Whether he sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith." I tell people all the time that I was supposed to be an ag teacher and that really agricultural terminology is my language, because it makes the most sense to me, and it makes the most sense to a lot of rural community people. I'd argue that Paul, in making this case for why these people in these churches need to not grow weary in doing good for other people, is because Paul understood and wanted them to understand from an agrarian standpoint a very simple explanation for how good can be derived from what we do in our lives. And to use agricultural terminology to make that point, it makes so much sense. Farming is a part of the biblical way. You read about it all the time. And while it seems odd that farming might be a way to give examples for how to get things accomplished in biblical times, because we know that the Middle East isn't the most ripe farming ground, but it was the only way to survive. It was the only way to survive. But where would Paul get this idea of reaping and sowing and producing a harvest? Have you ever wondered that? He used a lot of agricultural terminology to make his cases. But where did he come up with that? Well, I think, simply put, Paul got it from Jesus. But let me explain why. Let me explain why. And first, let me explain why it's important to look at it this way. You can take a seed and plant that seed into the ground, and when that seed germinates, it's going to produce a plant, and that plant's going to produce a fruit that the byproduct of that fruit is always more in number than the seed that's been put in the ground. Corn, grain sorghum, cotton, you name it. That's what makes farming, from an agronomy standpoint, worthwhile for people. It's risky. It's dangerous. One of our good friends from Camp Bandina, the session that we go to, Ashley and I have known her for as long as we can remember. I guess Arlen grew up with her, but the Neiman family, they raise cotton. When Hurricane Harvey hit the Gulf Coast, they lost more than you could ever imagine. Now, they've survived. They've made a good living for themselves by farming, but they lost more than you could ever imagine when Hurricane Harvey hit that August. Now, they had crop insurance, and good, smart farmers have crop insurance. And so it didn't put them out of business and didn't put them out of work and force them to have to sell their land or anything. But you go, why do people farm these days? It's because there is a benefit to it. There's a benefit to it. Anytime you can take one seed, plant it into the ground, and produce a fruit and a product, that is multifold, it's worthwhile when the prices are right. And so that's why people do it. It's risky, crazy risky. And some people find it too risky. And they're selling family farms and they're giving it up to big companies and corporations in order to produce all that. That's because they're not content with the risk. And that's what makes farming like investing. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I bet most of us here, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, are taking seeds and putting them maybe in stock market, maybe it's a mutual fund. You might be really conservative, and you might find other ways to take your resources and believe that you can turn those things around. Maybe buy some dilapidated homes and fix them up and sell them and rent them out. It doesn't matter whether you're conservative or whether you're really aggressive in your strategies. Most of us are investing in some way. And we're doing that for what? We're doing that for the future, right? We're not investing for right now. We're investing for the future. And we're hoping, we're praying, we're trusting that somewhere down the line, when the circumstances warrant it, that you can take what you planted as seeds and reap a benefit, a harvest. Maybe it's compound interest. Maybe it's selling some of those things that you've bought on the cheap and turning them around. But you're doing it for the future, right? I got a banker sitting here looking right at me. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. So investing and agriculture are very, very closely associated with each other because there's incredible risk, but there's also incredible reward. So Paul makes this case. Look, don't grow weary in doing good, because if you just trust God, if you believe and have some faith, in the end, you'll reap a harvest. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. So now look at another passage in Matthew chapter 25, and this one's going to be a little more demanding of us, but I want to read some portions of this because it's a story that we know very well, and we know it, I think, at a cursory level, and because we often just kind of read for the sake of reading, and we miss points of inflection, and we miss the fact that there is subtleties like questions being asked that are rhetorical in nature, we completely miss some very important things. The parable of the talents. Jesus starts telling these stories to make points. And in the parable of the talents, he tries to say, okay, you've got a man, and he's got three different employees. And to these three different employees, he's given them each three different amounts of money. Now, a talent in biblical times was a pretty significant amount of money. If my understanding is right, it would have been about a year's worth of wages for a common laborer. I don't know a whole lot of people who are right now set up so that they can just not work for a year and not be stressed at all. This is a significant amount of money. Okay? And so he has these three individuals. He gives each of them three different amounts of money that are fairly significant. Now, for the sake of our example today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to modernize it a little bit. Let's bring it home to us. And let's just say that $30,000 is what a common laborer would make. Maybe that's high, maybe it's low. Let's say $30,000, okay? So you've got a man, he gives one man $150,000 in our modern currency. And then he gives another one $60,000 in our modern currency. And then he gives a third one just $30,000, okay? The first two, they put that money to work, and Jesus says that. But the third guy, and I want you to think about what he did. It says that he buried it in the ground. He took the money and he buried it in the ground. And I wonder why. Well, we've got to see what unfolds for it to start to make sense. It says in verse 19 of Matthew 25, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents, the $150,000 in our modern currency, bringing 5 talents more." So all of a sudden, he's got 300 grand in his hands. And he says, "Here, boss, here's what is yours." And the boss says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over much." The other guy shows up. He'd been given, in modern currency, $60,000. And he brings 120. He too doubles what he'd been given. The master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over much." And then it says in verse 24, "He also who'd received the 1 talent came forward saying," now listen to this, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed." Interesting way to describe it. "So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what's yours." Now look, he gives him back what had been given. He didn't lose it. He didn't blow it. He just did nothing with it. And the master says, "You wicked and slothful servant." Now look at the next part of the verse. This is a question, and it's a rhetorical question. He has said, "I knew you were a hard man." But the master says, "You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed?" Really? I can just see Jesus as he's framing this in front of these people going, "Really? You knew that I reap where I don't sow and that I harvest where I don't scatter seed?" And here's where Chad Gilley's going to smile. He then says, "Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance." And then, of course, there's a closing word of condemnation for the person who did nothing with what he had been given. Isn't it ironic that Jesus associates farming with investing? And Jesus is trying to make a point about what you do with your resources. And he flat out says you should have at least invested it with the bankers. That's the point. And if this example is good enough for Jesus, I think it ought to be good enough for us, because what we do with our resources winds up being an investment. It is. It's an investment. And I would like to think that what churches do for us constitutes being an investment in hope. The Children's Home work has changed over the years, and a lot of people think that these are just troubled kids. And that's such a mistake. It's such a misnomer. It is such a terrible, terrible stereotype. Our kids are not terrible kids. They come from terrible situations. And most of you would cringe if you understood them. Most of you would cringe if you read the social summaries that we have to read. Most of you would cringe if you understood the nature of why these kids come to us. Children's homes are primed to afford kids with hope unlike anything that they could ever imagine. And it's true. And if we just took a moment and said, "You know what? I'm going to choose not to support a children's home. I'm going to choose to invest in this place. We would be speaking more about what we expect to happen with our resources than we would ever imagine. You know how I know that? Because I can separate Foster's home from the equation, and I could frame it like this. Anecdotally, the reason why saying we want to invest in places, or we want to invest in missionaries, or we want to invest in our youth is because using that term grants three things that support never does. Investing grants dignity, value, and worth. Let us suppose a couple walks through the double doors. They sit down back over there in the back next to Doug Savine, and they're waiting for yours truly to shut up. And they're hoping that they can have about 10 or 15 minutes with the elders. And this couple, they're missionaries from Tanzania. They're stateside, and they're stateside because they're drumming up support. Okay? You see, churches are shutting their doors. And the economy may not be like it's been in the past. And so their support's been cut. And if they don't raise a certain amount in 3 months, then their work is in jeopardy. And so they're just hoping, Rusty, they can get about 15 minutes with you guys. And so Doug sits down, services are over, and y'all give them your undivided attention for 15 minutes. And he makes this case for why his work or their work is so important and so needs Graham Street's resources. And Mike, y'all say, you know what? Graham Street's got some money set aside. And I think we could help this cause, but the Graham Street Church of Christ doesn't believe in supporting missionaries. We believe in investing in them. Do you think, number one, that missionaries ever heard that said to him? Nah. I've asked as many as I can come into contact with. I've never found a single missionary who said that elders or a church has said, you know what? You're worthy of our investment. Number two, do you think it matters? And every missionary that I've talked to said, you bet it matters. And it's because it says something. It says that you believe that what they're doing matters. It says that you believe that there is dignity, value, and worth in what they're trying to accomplish. But maybe most importantly, it says that you believe that God can do what he says he can do. It was Paul who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God. Whatever good is derived from children's homework, whatever good is derived from a missionary in Tanzania, is not because of the ingenuity and the articulate nature of the missionaries speaking in Tanzania. It's because God gives the increase. He does. And life is all about putting seeds in the ground here, there, and everywhere, and trusting that God will give the increase. Some of you know the stories that, you know, we showed up here in March of 2020, wondering if moving to Stephenville, is this the right thing for us? We brought our kids. We came to church here right before spring break. Coach Doty gave us a tour of the school, and we wanted to make certain that our kids were on board because this was a big change. We had a daughter about to graduate. We had a son who was going into his junior year. Is this right for them? Didn't have to take the job if I didn't need to. And if they weren't going to be on board, it wasn't worth it. But there was a certain point in time where we had to say, we just got to trust that it's the right thing. And while so much has happened that was unpredictable, there's no doubt in my mind that God is giving the increase. Both for my kids, for Tisha, for myself. We had to have a level of faith. We had to have a level of faith. And that's exactly the way it is in life for all of us. She's not here, but I got to share this because it's really funny. Back when we met Misty Wilson, I remember our daughters were in high school and we'd been at church camp. She sent me a text saying, "Hey, I'd love for Abby and Haley to come to our basketball camp." I was like, "Oh, great." She's like, "Oh, it's $300 per, you know, and you know, back then I was like, $300. And while we love to watch our girls play basketball, I mean, we kind of realized that, I mean, Haley's pretty short. I mean, basketball wasn't going to be in their, like, wasn't going to be in their future when it came to college. And, you know, $600 is a lot of money. And, you know, it's not always easy to just be like you're throwing $600 out the window. But I can remember thinking, you know what, though? This would get those girls to they got to stay with Arlen and Ashley. They got to spend some time with another friend that came from Bernie. And they got to be with Misty, and they got to see this, and they got to experience this. And the $600 didn't matter whenever I reframed what this was really could be all about. It was about affording them an opportunity. It wasn't about the basketball. It was about the people. And it was about the opportunity to be influenced by people that we loved and we cared about. And on any given day, and twice on Sundays, we are faced with making decisions about whether we do this and whether we do that. And it seems like faith is probably the last thing that we're ever really thinking about first and foremost. It always takes a kick in the rear to get us to think along those lines. But that's exactly what God says. We don't know if we give $10 to a panhandler, he might go blow it on cigarettes and beer. But we just don't know, right? Maybe it's really a need. Do you not give because you're concerned, or do you give and just trust that God can do with it what he says he can do with it? Maybe trusting that God can do with it what he says he'll do with it, maybe that might produce a different outcome. Who knows? We'll never ever know if we look for ways around doing what the Apostle Paul says not to do. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at a due time you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. So my plea for you this morning is to just think about us. Think about the missionaries. Think about the youth group. Think about your own personal finances. And set aside that antiquated word and realize that you can do and God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. I think I heard that said somewhere, maybe like Ephesians chapter 3. It just takes faith to get there. But that's what's happening. It may not always seem like it, and it may not always feel like it for us when things at Foster's home are going awry, but the potential for lives to be changed is unfathomable. Because we do see it. We do see the short-term stuff, and we can see it in terms of the long-term stuff. We just got to believe. We just got to believe. And maybe you can give other people hope by framing it in a slightly different way. Investing in hope. Giving kids hope. Giving missionaries hope. Giving your kids hope that God can do what he says he can do. That's what the world needs. I mean, I'm about as cynical as they come. And it's easy to be negative. It's easy to be pessimistic. It's easy to go, oh, The world's going to hell in a handbasket because that's what it seems like. But, if we really believe that God is who he says he is, then a lot of this is in his hands. And we work with him and he works in us to do what we obviously can't manufacture for ourselves. And let's not forget that. Because it's been the case since the beginning of time. God has been trying to get driven into human beings since the fall. Just trust me. It's not easy to do because we think we've got it all figured out. And we think we know what's best. But that's being short-sighted. That's being blind. That's being naive. We don't got to look very far to find people to help. We don't have to look very far to find people to invest in. And we don't have to look very far to figure out where we need to make our own changes in life. No, I always tell people, nobody knows my shortcomings quite like me. Not always easy to own them, but I got them all figured out. I've got them pegged. And there's not much anybody else can do to help me with my shortcomings. It's kind of like Paul said, I don't know why I do what I do. I do the things that I shouldn't, and I don't do the things that I ought to do. That's the conundrum of life. And we're all in this thing together, and we're all fighting the same battles, and we're all fighting the same struggles. But God gives hope, and God lets us funnel hope to others. And God allows for us to be the vehicles through which the hope that he gives can be passed on from one person to another person. And that's what makes what we do pressing in life. That's what makes every single action that we take worthy of real attention, real thought. Because we don't live in vacuums. We're constantly working within our own sphere of influences to help, to shape, to mold. And my challenge for you is to just set that term aside and start investing in things that really and truly matter. And only God can show and reveal what might be derived therefrom. But God wants us to trust, and so it's up to us to trust. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for what you do for us. This place, it is a special place. And I think about the people that I've met here and that I have grown attached to, and they're some of the most important people in the world to us when it comes to why we're here. And I love that we've got influences on our kids. I love that our head coach, our DC, our OC, our offensive line coach, heck, there might be even more, that they come here. And I'm grateful for the opportunities that my son and that me personally, that we get to reap from the benefits of people who really, really care about kids. And I just hope that we all recognize the powerful impact that we can have. We always offer an invitation. I think it is one of the beautiful things about us as a people that we often show up here wrecked, demolished, world turned upside down. And while these days, few and far between, are the people that actually come forward to express their need, I'm grateful that we do it because it does afford people that opportunity. And maybe hope's not been a part of your life. And maybe you've never experienced that hope. Jesus is the hope. He is. And he can give what we can't manufacture for ourselves. Maybe you've just kind of been in the trudge of life, in a rut, And you just need people, good people, to pray for you and pray with you. And I think as we sing this song, maybe an opportunity will be had for you to let the elders serve in that role. But the world needs hope. Jesus is our hope, and he wants us to pass it on. So just think about that as we sing.
Let's be standing. How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. And words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, and thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts and hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts.
Amen. Well, thank everybody for being here this morning. It's truly been a blessing to get to worship with you guys. It's been a blessing to get to listen to what Doug had to offer us. Very, very encouraging. Very, just a great charge for each of us, I think, to be thinking about. There's so many opportunities for us to invest in those opportunities around us. And so how's what was said this morning going to change you this week? We'll have our closing song, and then we'll have a Shepherd's Closing by Mike Dickus. Y'all would sing out with me.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From
from the star, God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, who sat upon a tree, a life was willing there to give, that he and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From the star God created man. He is our God.
Morning. Good to see everybody here today. Thank you, Taylor, for leading our song service. Thank you, Rusty, for leading this communion. Thank you, Doug, for that message. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your physical leadership, but more importantly, thank you for your spiritual leadership at Foster Home. We appreciate you so much. Thank everyone for being here today. If you're visiting, you honor us by being here. And stick around. Let's get to know you. This week, as you celebrate Thanksgiving with your family and friends, let's all just slow down and take time and remember how much we are blessed and how much we do have to be thankful for. Let's pray and we will be dismissed. Father, I want to thank you for this day and this time that you've given us to come here to worship you. We thank you for the reasonable health that we have and the ability that you've given, that you have given to us that we can assemble here. We pray as we have offered up this worship service, Father, that with through praise and through prayer and through the opening of your word, that we have done this in spirit and truth this morning. Father, I want to thank you for each precious soul here today. Thank you for the encouragement that we receive from each other. We pray that we would challenge each other, Father, and hold each other accountable for you. But thank you for the blessings that you give us. Many times we are discouraged. When that happens, Father, let us count the blessings that you have given us. Let us count our victories, not our failures. Let us count on you, Father, not ourselves. But thank you for your word that is truth, that is everlasting and alive today. Thank you for those who have gone before us, Father, those that sacrificed even to death that we might have the Bible. We pray we'd be in your word, we'd meditate on it each day. When we're discouraged by the evil one, Father, give us wisdom and discernment to see the traps and lies he may lay before us. Father, we pray that we would always have humility, we'd put away our pride, that we would have a heart of a servant, Father, which would be able to see the difference between what the world thinks is great and what you think is great. Father, thank you for our nation. We pray that you would heal our nation and just be with our leaders, that they would look to you. We're thankful for your church, Father. We pray that you be with the elders, the ministers, the deacons, the teachers, all those involved in the different ministries, that we would go forward, Father, in unity. As we leave here, Father, we pray that we would focus on Jesus, that we put away those things in our life that would keep us from running with perseverance the race that you have put before us. Father, we don't ask for an easier way. We just ask that you would make us stronger. Father, I want to pray this morning for the community of Andrews, who lost three people this last weekend in a bus accident on I-20, a band buses that were going to a football game. There were several injured and three killed. We just pray that you would comfort them, Father, that those who have been injured would recover and return to their lives. Father, we ask that you go with us now. We always remember your forgiveness, your mercy, and your grace, which sustains us each day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.